only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you can have your
Rich
dream.
Boy, selling crack for Cadillac. Tight, wanna slack. No, just for Cadillac. Throw some D's. Throw some A's. Throw some B's. Throw some C's.
Throw some K's.
Special K.
Backwards K.
Jinx.
Looking.
Wow. This is the Cap Figure Podcast. I'm Ryan DiPaolo. Who are you?
Tom McLaughlin.
Hi, Tom. What is this, 62?
Yeah, we're at 62.
This is episode number 62. And like always, we got many exciting a thing to talk to. Wow, that's not English. We have many exciting things to discuss in the baseball world. Aroldis Chapman's decline. Joey Votto's godness. Stanton's a douchebag again. The Yankees suck. The Angels are good. But before any of that, Tom, who are some players who wore number 62?
Let's dive right into 62. So we have only one player who's worn 62 for more than 10 years, and his name is Scott Shields, featuring a 10-year career with a 12.37 WAR.
You know, that's James Shields' dad. No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
So some other players you may be more familiar with.
Thanks.
Jabba Chamberlain.
Oh, dude. I bought two Jabba Chamberlain. He was the only player card I bought for myself in our visit to the Hall of Fame.
Two rookie cards, okay.
Because he was super, yeah, of course, rookie. It was his only good year.
And then we have, of modern day, or, you know, live players, however you want to call it, we have Jose Quintana and Sean Doolittle.
Dude, Jabba Chamberlain has, no reliever has been that exciting like the way he was. Aroldis, obviously, because he could throw that fast, I guess. But do you remember, like, the buzz around Jabba? And he's not even the closer at the time.
Yeah,
that
was
amazing. He started his MLB career with a streak of a ton of scoreless innings. And he could throw 100. He was so awesome. And he was the eighth inning guy to Mariano Rivera's ninth inning. And it was a season in which the Yankees were just barely going to make the playoffs. And then they would end up losing to the Indians in the game with all the midges when all the bugs were on the field. But Jabba Chamberlain was so exciting that year. And then they tried to stretch him out to a starter, and then they threw him back to the bullpen, blah, blah, blah. He got hurt.
Yeah,
and now he's throwing balls at Derek Jeter.
He jumped on the trampoline with, like, his kid and rolled over his ankle or something.
Oh,
like
that's
that.
Right, yeah. But can you think – I can't think – that's great. That's so funny. Maybe, like, Andrew Miller's buzz, but it wasn't the same thing. I mean, maybe because I'm in New York, we're in New York City, I remember the buzz being as epic as it was. But,
yeah,
like, it was, like, Judge-like almost for just a month or two. Like, it was – he was everything. Every kid had a hat that said Jabba rules because they had the quote-unquote rules for his pitch count before that was, like, a popular thing. It
yeah.
was a big craze.
No other pitcher has been as hyped up as him, and it's for a couple of reasons. One was because he, like, came out of the minor leagues, and even though people knew of him, he was just, like, burst onto the scene, whereas with Chapman, we were expecting it. We saw it a couple years in Cincinnati. So,
oh, yeah. I don't mean Chapman with the Yankees. I just mean any reliever anywhere in baseball with that much buzz. Maybe Chapman in Cincinnati because he could throw hard.
But even then, it was like we were kind of expecting this, and Chamberlain coming on the scene the way he did in the market he did was
in the middle of a playoff race, throwing 100, being all – there was all this controversy about how hard he cheered. Like, was he too demonstrative? It was the bat flip scenario, but – you know, with a pitcher, and again, it's like, yes, let him cheer. He's not showboating anybody. Shut up. And then, like I said, he threw the wild pitch because he had bugs all over his face. You got to pitch under pressure. Back in my day, we had wasps all over you, and you would pitch. Raleigh Fingers would pitch a complete game shutout with bugs crawling out of his ears. None of this stuff. All right.
When you walk uphill both ways to school.
To the mound. The mound is
with no shoes.
The mound was an invert. It was downhill. You had to pitch uphill. All right. So, yo, we got lots of stuff to get to. I don't know what's first. Maybe, though, what you told me right before we started recording was that Joey Votto, his on-base streak is over. His streak of getting on base two times a game, right, it ended at 20, one short of Teddy Williams.
Correct.
Why didn't I hear about this? What the hell is wrong with everybody?
I don't know. You're stuck in, you dug yourself a hole and you've been living in it.
What,
but
a daily fantasy hole when I only read about
it. You're in a DraftKings hole.
I'm in a DraftKings hole.
Yeah, no, I honestly didn't really hear about it either until last night when it was snapped.
What the hell?
I hadn't
amazing.
Heard of it when it was at 19. I have him on both of my fantasy teams, so I've seen this over the course of a year. He basically scores at least one run a game. He gets at least a walk or a hit every game, but you know, to get to 20 games where you get on base twice a game, it's sort of a little bit of like one of those weird statistical things where it's just a matter of having it done 20 times in a row, but that's unbelievable, especially in games where he only had like 3 or 4 plate appearances.
Yeah, that's more impressive not more impressive, but it's I don't think it's like a fluke. It's not like a fun fact. You know, when they make fun of fun facts on Effectively Wild, how you can say he's the only guy in Colorado Rockies history to pitch the 7th inning with only one strike. Like
on Tuesdays.
They put on all these variables, right? This is way more impressive than that,
yeah,
especially
absolutely.
Since Ted Williams. But it is funny that a hit streak, everybody knows the Joe DiMaggio, you know, whatever, 61. I don't even know what it is. How many?
Yeah,
that's
61.
Crazy. That shows how smart we are that we don't even know about his record. But yeah, it was 61.
But yeah, on base kind of gets overlooked.
But on base gets way overlooked because Matt Holliday had a crazy streak of on base last year or 2 years ago, and it was under the radar. But it's like it should be in the same way that a no hitter gets way more hype still than like a 20 strikeout game. That will start to change. I think we'll start to
agreed.
Get as hyped about a double on base game, which we should. But Joey Votto, yeah, man, he's leading the baseballs in OPS. He's a god, as we talked about last week.
This is one streak where it actually could help you to be on a bad team because he's going to get pitched around a lot because he has nobody behind him
in
the
lineup.
Oh, that's
interesting.
I still think, you know, I didn't look at each at-bat, but that could be another factor into, you know, why he gets on base a second time in a game.
That's true. I mean, to be fair, even in the seasons when the Reds have been good, he's gotten on base. When he's been protected by a good Brandon Phillips and Jay Bruce or whatever, he leads baseball and walks. But, no, you're right. That definitely, it's an easier thing to do on a bad team. But if he was on a better team, maybe he'd have the home run streak like Giancarlo Stanton, who just has been on the hottest streak ever, right? Do you know what the number was? It was something insane. He's up to 44 home runs already. And when 1 week ago, when we did this episode, he only had 37. He was just tied with Judge. Now he's killing it for home runs. And, quote, the story is he has an eye on 60, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. Home runs are cool, but
It's very impressive what he's doing. I faced him last week in our fantasy league, and he single-handedly won those categories for the other team. He had, I think it was at one point, it was 9 and 10 games. I think he's since gone on to have maybe 3 more games where he's hit a home run, so that would make it, what, 12 and 13?
Yeah, something insane like that, yeah.
Do I think it's sustainable? No. Do I think he's still one of the best power hitters in the game? Yes. You
I
want
to see. Before he... What was I going to say? Oh, he's been on such a hot streak that, like, the other day he was playing against Madison Bumgarner, and all the daily fantasy I've been, like you mentioned, in a fantasy daily fantasy wormhole, sort of, and everybody was saying, well, you know, Giancarlo Stanton might be a good sneaky play because people will be off him because he's playing Madison Bumgarner, and if you play him, it's just a one-off. Like, he's not part of a stack, which you obviously want.
Right.
11% of people still played him, and he still hit a home run against Madison Bumgarner. Like, he's been amazing, but I don't like him. Let me see this streaky, bro. Where is this? Da-da-da-da. In the midst of an historical run, 23 in 36 games. Holy shit.
Wow.
But he's going to get hit in the face with the ball and be out for the season.
He stopped wearing the helmet with that little, like, clip in front of it.
Did he?
To protect. I think so.
I don't know. This clip still shows him. Maybe he's getting cockier and cockier, but this is from the other night, and he still has it.
Oh, okay.
The little face thing that Hayward wears. All right. So, more worrisome for you. Aroldis Chapman gave up a home run again to the future, my boy, Amed Rosario. But before that, we haven't recorded since last week. On Sunday Night Baseball, I had multiple hundreds of dollars on the Red Sox, and the Yankees were losing 2-1. I mean, the Red Sox were losing 2-1.
I was there.
With two outs in the bottom of the ninth. So paint the picture then, dog. But keep in mind, I have $300 on them winning by a run and a half or more, the Red Sox, and then $100 on the margin of victory to win. I stood to what a lot or lose a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees came back, took the lead. Chapman came in and he hit 102 miles an hour with his first eight pitches. Nobody even came close to hitting him. And then
he got two outs, right? And the score is 2-1.
Two outs, two strikes. And then Devers just connected on 102.8 mile an hour fastball opposite field into the bullpen.
Devers,
who's
a lefty, by the way.
20-year-old lefty.
Right. And that's the fastest pitch ever to have a home run hit off it. I mean, since they started tracking it in 08.
Yeah, it was very impressive. I mean, you know, that in and of itself, you could obviously see how that could mess with somebody mentally, because Chapman did pitch really well. He just didn't get the result. And, you know, being a closer, it's like a binary result. Either you blow the save or you don't. So he pitched really well then. He came out against the Mets, and he gave up a two-run home run to Rosario. Didn't blow the save.
Let's finish the Red Sox game, though. So what happened the rest of the game, though, just by the way? They ended up losing. He came back out, walked two guys, right?
Yep, walked two guys.
Girardi brought him back out for the 10th. He walked two guys, and then Benintendi hit a single, and then they won the game 3-2, and I didn't lose money. And then against the Mets, he came in with a 5-2 lead and gave up a 2-run home run again, and he hasn't given up a home run since the World Series last year, right?
I think
Before the Devers home run, he hadn't given up a home run until Devers, and against the lefty, when he gave up the homer to Devers, he hasn't given up a home run to a lefty in like 3 years.
Yeah.
I screamed so loud, I was listening to it, was like 11 at night, that my dad was like, Ryan, the neighbors could hear you. Like, do you think why? You told me an interesting theory. I'll let you tell it. But, like, why do you think he could be struggling? Or is he struggling? Is this just bad luck? Is this a normal reliever fluke?
Well, it was really concerning after he gave up the home run to Rosario. They, like, focused in on him, and he was basically just, like, crouched out the mound, and he really looked, like, defeated mentally. Like, he really didn't know. And I think that comes from the fact that his velocity is at an all-time high. He's, you know, his control isn't fully there, but he's been pitching decently well, and yet hitters are still hitting out of the park. So that kind of feeds into my theory.
Well, when you say pitching well, what do you mean? Like, you just mean he's been throwing hard?
He's been throwing hard. I mean, hitters really, outside of just the Rosario and Devers, those two swings, hitters have looked, like, completely lost against him.
Well, that's all it is. I mean, that's like when they say, oh, besides the two 80-yard runs for touchdowns, he didn't have that many yards.
Right.
You know, it's part of it. That's Drew Pomeranz's problem. He could strike out two guys and then give up a home run every inning. That's a bad pitcher.
Yeah, of course. I think that there is a reason to be alarmed. I think the underlying thing really is, like, when he came into the league, he was one of maybe three pitchers in the entire league who could hit triple digits.
Yeah.
Now, every bullpen you face, there are three to four guys who hit triple digits. So just when Chapman first came in the league, the difference between his fastball, which I think was sitting at like 101, 102 maybe at the time, and your average reliever was something like, let's say, 7 or 8 miles an hour. Now, hitters have so much more experience hitting against pitchers who throw triple digits that, to me, it's just not as intimidating. It doesn't have necessarily the difference that it did a couple of years ago. And since he has not been able to reliably use his secondary pitches, he's become very reliant on that fastball. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, with Devers, he threw him three fastballs, you know. if he would have had another pitch to go to, yeah, then maybe he could have struck him out.
Especially against a lefty, you know, throw him a slider. But
yeah, just throw him a slider
that
away.
You threw out a high number. Do you really think that it's 3 to 4 guys in each bullpen who can throw 100? That's pretty high.
Well,
that's,
with the Yankees, you have Chapman, Betances, Tommy Canley. Chad Green throws 99.
Well, you guys have the best bullpen in baseball, though, to be fair.
But
maybe 1.5 guys per team or something. Either way, guys are throwing faster. Your point is heard, bro. I don't want to say well taken. I don't like that expression because I didn't take it well. I'm just disagreeing with it. But, yeah, I guess that's a good theory. But, you know, but then again, it's like every reliever goes through this. It's going to be like – it's like sequencing, right? Like you go through – like say God or the baseball gods are deciding before the season – all right, Aroldis Chapman is going to give up 2 home runs this season or whatever. You know, a reliever is going to give up this many runs. They have to come at some point, or maybe they don't. It's funny, though, because I almost picture it like that. Like, that's how I view it, and it's sort of maybe incorrect. But it's like, all right, this guy's going to give up this many runs. With a reliever, they're going to seem really bad because they're going to blow the game or make his ERA jump a bunch because he's only pitching one inning a game. But maybe there's just a normal ebb and flow of the season, you know, like,
yeah.
What's his name? The guy with the chain on the Red Sox, the trashy guy. Craig Kimbrell had a rough patch recently, right? Dellin Betances, who's amazing, had a rough patch recently.
Yep.
All of them go through this. So I don't know. I mean, I just think relievers are not that good of pitchers, you know, in general, and they're going to just suck here and there. That's my take. They suck. That Aroldis isn't good.
No, I mean, I think he's still much better closer than even the average playoff team. I think the only other closers that in the game that are currently better would be Kimbrel, Kenley Jansen, and then...
You think Kimbrel's better than Aroldis? You'd rather have Kimbrel right now?
Based on the...
No. Just right now. Would you
right
rather
now,
for the,
yeah.
For the rest of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're crazy, bro. You're like a reactionary fan. But I know it's
hard.
No, but
look at his stats this season.
It's hard when you're in it. Every fan thinks that their relievers are shaky.
No, but look at Kimbrel's stats
this
year.
I don't want to look at facts. I refuse to look at facts. I just want to hyperbole make fun of you.
Okay.
So, but the bigger point, too, is that before you guys played the Red Sox... It was like, yo, we got a chance. They were just a little bit longer favorite than the Red Sox to win the AL. Now you're done for. All hell is
breaking
loose.
More than likely, yeah. More than likely.
You really think so? I was just trying to troll you to say, no, we're not. We're okay.
I mean, they were 4.5 back. It's a lot to make up. We play them, I think, 6 or 9 games total left. It's a lot of ground to make up, but they're safely in the first wild card spot as a home game. I like Severino against whoever's going to pitch for the Angels or the Royals. So,
not the Brewers. It's the other league.
I mean, everybody's sort
Mariners,
of
Mariners. You don't like him against James Paxton. He'll rape you guys.
No, I do. I like him a lot against James Paxton because the Yankees have a heavily right-handed lineup.
Nuh-uh.
So.
James Paxton, I would take. I mean, I think the Yankees would be favored at home, but I think that James Paxton is better than Severino.
Not against a completely right-handed lineup.
I'm sort of trying to troll you, but some guys, do you think that some guys transcend like lefty matchup or not? Like when I've been doing this daily fantasy stuff, like there are situations. What was it recently? It was a really good lefty, like Madison Bumgarner. And they were saying someone, you know, not Giancarlo Stanton, but another was like, oh, he crushes lefties. And I'm thinking like, yeah, but don't I know I'm all about numbers overall. But in cases like that, don't some even though you're left handed, don't sometimes you transcend the groupings like Brian Dozier, who does all his damage against lefties. I would like to see his splits against the top 5 lefties or something like that. Like maybe it's more, maybe guys transcend that sometimes. I don't know. Do you think that's naive of me or batter versus pitcher or stupid guy of me?
I mean, you see it with Chris Sale. I'm just not willing to put Paxton in that top category. And all things equal, I would still rather have an all right-handed lineup against Sale than lefties.
I was ditching the point of Paxton, but it actually was with Sale. But what do you think of that? Because the odds for that game were actually really weird, and it was because of what you just said, that a lot of the Yankees crushed righties, and all the sharp money loves Jordan Montgomery, which the Yankees smartly let him start. You know, they didn't pull him out of the rotation yet, right? But I was thinking in my bet on the Red Sox was that Chris Sale transcends that righty split, but maybe you can't. I don't know. Like, what do you think?
Well, he does. I think he's better against righties than the average lefty, yes. But, again, all things equal, like, I'm never going to put out left-handers as opposed to righties against Sale just because the
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, though, that in projecting a righty against Sale that – the thing that, oh, he does this well against lefties, it doesn't, you just got to look at it like it's Chris Sale. Like, I don't think you can.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think, like, I guess I'm like an old man, how my dad always gets mad and I correct him. He's like, you just got to go by gut. If a guy's pitching well, you don't take him out for the matchup. And it's like, no, you do because these are the odds. But with Chris, I don't know, whatever. The odds are, like, just put in your best hitter. I don't know, but whatever. So, speaking of the wild card, the Angels now pass the Royals for the away game at the Yankees.
What the hell is that
about?
Yeah,
right. I got big shout outs to Joey Straub. He's our boy. He called it. Well, so far he hasn't hit the over yet on the season. It was like 79.5, but he was big time Angels before the season. He's like, yo, bro, I got an inside tip. Angels don't strike out. Sabermetrics, they're going to go over on the win total this season. We said, get out of here with your Albert Pujols contract. And now all of a sudden they're 3 games over .500. But I don't know why they're good. Why are they good?
That's what I can't put my finger on. It makes no sense to me. Like you mentioned, all right, if the Angels coming into this year were going to go on this run and win a wild card spot, a lot of things were going to have to go right for them. One of them would be, I would assume, Cole Calhoun would have a breakout year, which people were expecting for a while.
Yes.
That hasn't happened.
No, he's below 700 OPS.
So, Andrelton Simmons is the one bright spot you can look to outside of the obvious, which is Mike Trout. Simmons is, I believe, second in overall WAR for American League players.
Yeah, he's been great.
A lot of that has to do with the fact that he's the best defensive shortstop in the game.
Right.
He's also hitting well.
Yes.
But can you fill me in as to what I'm missing? Because they don't have a dominant starter. They don't have a good number two starter. They have had a turnstile of closers.
Well, I don't know. I can fill you in. Let me just look up something. So Tyler Skaggs is amazing. He's great. You're underrating him. His 1.39 whip is the best in the AL.
1.39.
I know. I'm being sarcastic. Dude, I don't know. I'm trying to make a case. I don't even know who they consider their ace. Let me look up Jesse Chavez, who I think got sent to the bullpen, but he's an ace with his 1.4 whip and his 5.24 ERA, right? He's been great this season.
I know Alex Meyer was pitching pretty well, but he's been on the DL too. I think Yunel Escobar's on the DL.
Meyer, yeah, 1.34. I mean, dude, what the hell? I can't figure it out. Bud Norris, actually, he's close with Aroldis Chapman for the best closer in baseball, maybe. Again, I'm being sarcastic. I'm with you. I have absolutely no clue where they're winning. And I guess this is why Joey was saying it's a smart bet, but I don't understand. Just because they don't strike out, what does that mean?
So
I guess I got to watch and see how they win game to game. Like, I really don't know.
Weighted runs created plus on a scale of 100. You have three players that are over 100. You have Trout at 200 weighted run created plus, Andrelton Simmons at 117, and then Yunel Escobar at 101. Then there's not another player who's hitting above league average on this team. In fact, you have a player like Pujols, who you would assume would be doing really well if this team were to be in this position, who has a 71 weighted runs created plus. Nothing is making sense to me about this. I still believe it's a fluke.
Well, the Angels, I'm looking now, they actually have, they're tied with the Cubs for the 7th best team whip in all of baseball at 1.28. But I still don't see where. I don't understand, because the guys I just named all at 1.3. I guess that's around what I was just reading. Let me look up their team OPS, bro. Let's see. They are going to be very far down. They're second to last in OPS. So it seems like they're pitching, but as we go through, I don't know who's good and who's going to stay that good pitching. But the Royals suck worse. I almost, like, prefer the Angels to the Royals as far as, like, a prediction, because I personally hate the Royals, as we know. But separately from this, now is a good time to gamble, I think, on buying tickets for resale for the Yankees-Royals last game of the regular season. because they had a rainout earlier in the season, and that got rescheduled to the last game of the regular season. And if you think that that game may be for the wild card, we should buy tickets and try to resell them, because that's like a playoff game.
Because it's like a playoff.
I think that's a worthy gamble, maybe.
Yes, that is. The Angels have a -5 in run differential, which is not as bad as I was expecting either. I was expecting it to be much worse than that.
Yeah, me too.
So
they're not really outperforming. They're only slightly outperforming their underlying stats. So whatever. All right, go Angels. At least I want them to hit 80 wins for my boy Joey. But I'd like to see Cano win a World Series, bro. What else do we have? Help me out, Tom.
Oh, yeah. So
arbitration.
I read an interesting article the other day, which is that not even some of them, but the top MLB agents are sort of struggling with how arbitration is going to look in a couple of years. The reason being, you have teams like the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cubs, all very sabermetric oriented, and they've all built out these teams of like analytic analysts, let's call them.
Analytic analysts? Fine, we'll call them that.
And they have like 100 people on staff, and there's, you know, they have the StatCast data, they have their own, you know, personal metrics. So this has obviously become a big function of front offices in the league. So there's all of this data. The problem is, on the agency side, they don't have nearly the amount of resources to extrapolate this data and then use it on their clients' behalf. So the thesis of this paper was just that in the coming years in arbitration, the teams are going to be at an unfair advantage over the players in arbitration just because of the sheer amount of data that they have on the players.
Yeah.
And I tend to agree.
It's interesting. You know, one is, you know, anybody can become an arbitrator. You need to be agreed to by both sides. But my dad, who's retiring soon from being a union labor rep, is interested in – well, he said if he were thinking ahead 5 or 10 years ago, he would learn how to be an arbitrator, but he still may, because somebody with a history in disputes, anyone from either side, management or the player side, can be chosen. Both sides need to agree, and you don't need like a law degree, you just need some expertise that they agree on, right?
Correct.
A
lot of times they are lawyers, but
right, yes, they happen to be often lawyers. You know, it's interesting though, because the players have sort of been iffy about the StatCast. Some of them are all in, and some of them are like been saying this for a while now. They're worried about what all these advanced numbers are going to do for them. And I understand that to some extent, because it's like you can't trick the teams. There's not going to be room for some hotshot agent to manipulate the teams into saying, well, look, he did this, and this effect is intangible. He hits the ball hard, I bet. It's like, no, we know, like if you draw it out to infinity, the more facts there are, then everything will be predictable. But there still will be the same pool of money for the players, theoretically, right? If you knew if you could see the future and you knew how every player would perform forever, the issue is still how much revenue are the players earning and how much are they entitled to versus management.
Yes.
Although it is, I would be for more tracking if they're going to use it against me. I absolutely would not. It's still theoretically the same pool of money going to the players.
Yes.
But
they
probably won't
come
out that way. Yeah.
They don't have to meet that quota.
No, not at all. They have no reason to.
So the kind of the reason behind this becoming a little bit scary is, like, I think it's just it's a matter of, you know, if the teams can start proving and punching holes in cases brought forth by the agents, that will have a substantial impact on the amount of money that these players make. I think once they get to the free market and the player has more power in terms of choosing where to go, it's a lot less of an issue.
Yes.
But it is a major issue for, let's even use someone like Dellin Betances, where all of the data suggested that he was a top 5 reliever and he just didn't fit this one particular category of saves.
Well, in a way, that's the reverse. That's almost like the reverse, though. That's using stupid people numbers. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I understand what you're saying, but that was like them being the reverse of Riri's. So whatever, you're right, I guess. But maybe, like I said, with free agency, maybe it'll adjust. And like we saw in the last offseason, home run hitters, they're like, we don't need that skill as much. But then Jason Hayward gets paid. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
All right, so little Ryan's texting me about the fantasy draft. I told him the date is flexible, but he doesn't listen. He's a dummy. Is there anything else you want to get to before we dip set?
No, I mean, I got my I got a live fantasy draft tonight.
For
if
football.
We can get this up in time, somebody please let me know who to take with the 10th and 11th pick in a PPR league, because I definitely don't want to take Melvin Gordon.
Who is the before him possibility? Julio? Who else is? Who are the top
he's
picks?
Not even going to make it there. We got Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Mike Evans, Julio Jones.
Dude, it's a lot of receivers, Mo and Mo.
I need Zeke.
What you need is Fantasy Plus, the best app in the App Store. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what app to use. I use Roto Grinders, but that's for daily. And I use Joey's Friend. I don't even remember your name. Big shout outs.
Joey's Friend.
Yo, Joey's. That's
what's
what he saved
name?
In my phone.
That's
Joey's
exactly
friend.
What I was going to ask you. Okay, so let's get inside the mind of a DraftKings legend. What's your username?
Why is Jadakiss?
Why is Jadakiss? So can you... Can you please explain to our audience your special sauce, how it's adapted this year?
I don't even know what special sauce is.
Like, what's driving these results?
Oh, well, I've been looking at a number of numbers, including what Joey Friend texts me and at what time. I've also been looking at advanced analytics as what the Roto Grinders podcast say. I look at these spreadsheets of the content of what they're saying, and I read the names on it, and I actually transcribe those names into my lineups every day. It's an in-depth process where
skip the paper
where I just to look at the list of names, I fast forward to the names they say, and I actually input them myself into my lineups each day.
And you incorporate a bias filter, right?
Absolutely. It takes about 20 to 30 minutes every day of setting my hundreds of dollars of lineups, and it's just really advanced. And it's not a lot of people aren't cut out for it, but honestly, it's been great for me.
All right, another big wager on the forecast we have is, will Donald Trump be impeached? And
it was not impeached, because impeached doesn't mean you get thrown out. It's just, will he serve out his 4 years as POTUS, President of the United States? I didn't know what that meant. And yes is minus 155. I don't want to get any political here if I hate him or like him or whatever, but he ain't getting he's not getting thrown out.
No,
it's very hard to get kicked out of presidency. But at only minus 155, I bet the maximum at 310.
It's a great bet, yeah.
I also might bet on Tom Brady and Kanye West to win the presidency, which you can.
So I'm going to just throw this out there to whoever in China is in charge of setting these lines
in
for all
charge
of
these, ABCwagering.ag.
Underground sports wagering apps. Elon Musk is not, or was not, born in the U.S., so it is not possible for him to be listed as an option to be our next president.
I know, but I think people will bet it, and maybe the law can change.
So the law's going to change.
Well, they thought that about Arnold Schwarzenegger for a little bit almost. They were like, maybe he could win.
Okay.
But no one's changing the law for a guy who doesn't want to be president.
Exactly.
I would vote for Elon Musk, though. He's a visionary, bro.
I love Elon
Remember
Musk.
That high-speed tube he's going to make from L.A. to
the
San
Hyperloop?
Francisco? Yeah, the Hyperloop.
In his spare time while he's also creating, like, the best car company in the world
and
going
like
to Mars.
A side project of, like, populating Mars where man has never been. That's pretty cool, man. My side projects are, like, playing the show.
Transcribing.
Yeah, I do an in-depth process where I take the names Joey's friend texts me and plug them in.
Why is Jadakiss LLC?
His name is Crazy Carl. He's good. All right, bro. Hit us up on the Twitter and stuff. What is it? At CapFigure.
CapFigure. All right.
Holler at me.
Holla at your boy.
Joey Votto, I love you. I would go gay for Votto. But I don't know what's more gay. I think probably taking it instead of giving it is less gay, because you could just bend over in the fetal position and wait till it's over.